Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I am so excited. You have the opportunity of having this fun conversation about some of the things that a lot of people get concerned about as far as this idea of sales, but most importantly of dealing with those people who have gone from struggling, trying to actually figure out how to do this thing to literally going from one of the worst sales reps to being one of the very best. I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity of spending a lot of time here with Cole Gordon, but you are going to today, right now. You're going to get so much stuff. And I think the part I just absolutely love is the story here of going from zero to 30 million in 26 months. He's just out there been crushing it. Again, Cole, welcome to the show.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
It's been fun. I've a lot of the clients you've worked with and stuff have been some of our dear friends. Dean Graziosi, Fran Kern, Tony Robbins, Jay Abraham. I mean, the list goes on and on and on as far as all the people. And again, I think it's, to me, it's the exciting thing. I was actually talking with Rich Sheffern yesterday, and just it's cool just seeing the impact that you had. And I think the most important thing is helping people really understand this whole concept of really being able to grow and scale and build the business at the rapid pace that you have. So with that, Cole, let's just dive right in.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You let me know where you want to start.
Well, if you don't mind, tell people a little bit about, in just a few minutes here, how'd you go from absolutely being one of the worst to being one of the best and actually leading a massive team? Would you say 80 employees now doing the sales for all these people?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, essentially, I was a business owner, failings, totally stunk. So similar to like, you know, somebody who maybe they drops out of college and they're like, man, I'm getting into the military. For me, I call the sales the military of business. So like I kind of failed and I was like, I'm getting into sales, you know? And so I get into sales. I'm like the worst guy on the team for a long time. I sucked. And one of the things that helped me is you know, I kept reviewing my fellow team members' calls. I was on a team with studs. So not only was I bad, like everybody else was like exceptionally really good. So for me, it made me look even worse. And I would review their calls with the intention of thinking that there's going to be a lot of objection handling at the end of the call, or like there's things that they were saying to get the prospect to buy. I'm like, what do I need to say to buy? And what I realized is that on the contrary, none of their calls had objections at all. And all my calls had objections. So I started to think like, how can I not handle objections, but how can I prevent objections? And I discovered that essentially every objection is rooted in seven different beliefs. Right. So there's seven beliefs the prospect needs to have to buy. There's pain, doubt, cost, desire, money, support, trust. That works for marketing. And it's even when I write a video sales letter, I use that framework that I learned on the phone. And that is not something I read out of a book. That is not something I read, you know, got from a course. I literally just like kind of thought of this. And it was how for the longest time I never was using that to teach it. I just was like, this is how my brain can wrap my head around this stuff. And so obviously when I started to become a sales trainer, I started to teach it, but that framework, once I started to get that down, and also, you know, different things like optimizing my energy and my health and sleeping better, you know, go figure, but you know, exercising in the morning, like just being a real high performer and taking sales seriously. I went from the worst guy to either, you know, every single, month in that team, I was either number one or number two. And it's a lot to say. That team was really good. And then I left to go to another team, was a top guy in that team immediately. Then I went to another team, top guy in that team immediately. And then I eventually left to do my own sales consulting, which quickly turned into sales recruiting. Because here's the biggest lesson about sales recruiting you could ever know, is that good salespeople know other good salespeople. And if you're ever not going to use a recruiter like us, my biggest advice is to find the best salesperson you know and say, hey, where can I find good salespeople? So when I was out there training all these salespeople, all these business owners, I mean, every day in my Facebook Messenger, I was getting a message every single day. It was like, Cole, where can I find good salespeople? And I just sort of got to the point where I was like, man, I have the network. I was a lot of, you know, if you were a sales guy out there, a sales girl, like I was one of the people providing training and I had the distribution. I had a big network of salespeople. So I was like, man, I should just start like trying to, you know, take on a few clients and connect some people. And then that turned into a recruiting business that went from zero to 30 million a year. And that's not, you know, contracted fake revenue. That's actual cash in the bank in 26 months. And so, and through that, you know, we've worked with a lot of people that are some of your friends that you mentioned, a lot of top names in the space. And most importantly, though, you know, we've worked with hundreds of clients and we have raving reviews and we get them really, really great results. And we feel really good about what we do for our clients and also for our team members, you know, because it's not just about the client. It's also, you know, the people who are on my team, I want them to develop into better versions of themselves. So that's sort of the story in terms of how we run sales teams. We can dive into that as well and that discussion, but it's wherever you want to go.
I think that's the part that most people are going to be excited about. How do you actually run a sales team? And it's always fun anytime I'm dealing with people from marketing. It's like marketing and sales are totally different. Let's just focus just on marketing and see what happens.
Right.
And other people are, nope, we're going to sell. So I'd love to kind of see what's the best mix and how do you grow? And bottom line is all people really want is they want to grow the business. How do we do it?
Yeah. So let me break down basically the 7 steps we took to go from 0 to 30 million. And I haven't taught this in a while, so I might fudge up the steps here a little bit. But the first step is getting some sort of productized offer. Okay. So, and you know, I'm going to talk about sales teams in a second, but a sales team can really only, like, you can't build a house on a foundation of sand. So a sales team's only going to be as good as really the system that it sits upon. So the first thing is a productized offer. So like a lot of our clients are consultants or coaches or course creators or service providers, right? So they sell online services that are $3,000 or more, or like a software as a service that's more high ticket, right? So essentially, the very first thing we need to do is make sure we have something that solves a specific problem for a specific person in a specific way that has scalable economics and scalable delivery. If we have those three things, it can scale. There's not increased complexity when it can scale. The margins will stay intact. And then most importantly, if it's a specific problem for a specific person and there's a specific way, like a specific methodology in which that problem is solved, it's very easy to make the marketing work well around it, to really create like an evergreen marketing type of system. Okay. So you need all of those things in place. A great example of that is like for us, we have a very specific service where we place salespeople for high ticket coaches, consultants, and agents. Right? Like that is what the service is. Very, very specific. Okay. We have a specific methodology in which we do it. A non-specific example of that is the agency that I get referrals and I just do anything for everybody, right? It's like the guy wants me to do his website, I do his website. The guy wants me to do branding, I do his branding. Oh, guy wants me to run Facebook ads. Yeah, we do that too. Also, we also do Google and TikTok and everything else. And we do social media management. So there's no productization. There's no specific problem, for a specific person, a specific way, right? A way an agency can get around that is they could become a specific creative type agency for e-commerce to where they only produce, let's say, 10 creators a month that the e-commerce company can cycle in with their media buyers, right? That's very specific. And you can charge a higher premium for that. So that's step number one. You have to have that because you'll never get step number two without that. Step number two is what I call the optimal selling system, right? Which is I took from Mark Ford in his book, Ready, Fire, Aim, which is a phenomenal book. So there's two key components of the optimal selling system. There's basically a scalable way to generate interest, or in this case, sales conversations. And then there's a scalable way to close those conversations close the prospects and the clients. So here's the deal. Let's break that down into two parts. A scalable way to generate interest or sales calls. What we have to have to that is a system, keyword system. Okay. A system is something you can put inputs in and you get some sort of relative amount of outputs, inputs in, outputs out. Right. And we want it to be, it's not going to be fully linear, but we want it to be somewhat linear for the most part. So there's about 6 ways that you can get customers. There's like word of mouth referrals, earned media, owned media, paid media, affiliates, and outbound sales. Okay. And I got that one from Alex Ramosi as well, which has a great YouTube channel, but those are the 6 he says, right? I believe really for the service providers that we work with, essentially outbound sales and paid media are going to be the most scalable in terms of generating interest, to where you put more inputs in, you get more outputs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, affiliates, certainly you could do it. Or any of these things, you could do it. So this is not mutually exclusive, but generally, you know, I have 600 clients, 99%, it's one of those two. So I'm just, best practice is it's typically one of those. So, and then within that, usually it's paid media because you can spend more on ads, you get more calls, or outbound, you can hire more outbound dialers, you get more calls, right? So that's that. You need to have that in place. Okay. The second thing is you need to have a consistent and predictable way to turn the sales conversations into clients in a way that eliminates what's called founder syndrome. Founder syndrome is only me can sell my product, service, or business, or whatever. Right? It's so unique that only I can sell it. Like, imagine if Russell could only, he was the only person that ever sold ClickFunnels. You know, no company has ever scaled that way. When the founder thinks that there's like this special sauce about them or charisma, or what have you, that, only they can sell their thing. So instead, what you need to do to fix that is create a process that's similar to how, there's not only one doctor who can diagnose Lyme disease, right? They have a standardized diagnostic and prescriptive process. So you need to create that for the problems that your customers have. That's how the salespeople can step into a system and be able to win. So the first thing gives them regularity because they need consistent calls coming from a consistent direction under the same context every single day, right? Because it's like you're building a conveyor belt and you're going to like put yourself out and then you put your salespeople in, right? So it's like a conveyor belt, not like a bunch of launches that's just randomized. Like, let's just promote, it's like it's day to day. So you need that. And then you need obviously the sales process. The third thing is once you get that in place, and you validate it, like most founders, or if like you have a business partner who's the sales partner in a business, that's very common. Once you get to the point where you're closing, within economics that work really for the business, right? So you're hitting your KPIs. That's, it'd be a 20-25% closing ratio, but it could depend. Like, I have a client doing $2.5 million a month who has 10% closing ratio, but it's these huge solar companies that he's closing. So it's like, it just depends on whatever is going to hit your economics at scale. Once you're within those KPIs and you're the founder or the sales integrator, who's kind of the one leading this team, the key is the third step is delegation. So you have the conveyor belt built, you take yourself out, you put two sales reps in, and you always follow what's called the rule of two. The rule of two is essentially you always want to, if it's a first hire, like two sales reps, you always want to hire two. Okay. The reason for that is because your company, you or your sales integrator, whatever, not only is this the first time you're building a sales team, it's the first time you're learning the skill of sales management. And just like learning Facebook ads, or just like learning Instagram, or just like learning how to do a podcast, any of these things, it's a skill. Like, you get better at it over time. But most people, for whatever reason, they think sales management is like not a thing or something. Like, it's like they think it's like not a skill that you need to build. So you got to give yourself some grace. And the reason you hire two is because if you take yourself out, you put two in, they both fail. Either A, you got really unlucky with two bad salespeople, or most likely it's something you did. It's a breakdown in the system or a breakdown in your training processes. But if you put them both in, they both work, you did everything great. If you put both in and one works, that's totally fine. That just, because sales is, especially when you don't know what you're looking for, especially when you're not as good at training salespeople, you don't have all this experience that I have. You're gonna have higher churn at first. That's just inevitable. Okay. So that's the second thing. That's the third thing is delegating the sales calls. Now you have your sales team. And the thing is, people at this point, what they do is called the pendulum swing. So essentially the pendulum swing is where they go from, okay, I was doing all the sales calls myself. Oh my God, thank God I'm off the call. My business runs without me now. I don't have to be on the phone to make sales. Okay, sales team, like, you go do your thing. I'm going to go like take a vacation, right? And I'm exaggerating, but it's like, instead of managing and investing in their team members, they're like, thank God for you guys. You guys just go figure it out now. So you don't want to do that. What you want to do is really step into the identity and a role as a sales manager. Does that mean that's what you're doing all day, every day for 8 hours a day? No. We teach our clients a way to do that internally in a way that gets it down to about 60 minutes a day, if not less, for the founders or the business partners, sales integrators, whatever. So it doesn't take a lot of time, but you got to do it. Okay. And basically what we found is through working with 600 clients, there's three main things that if we can get them to do, their sales management is way better. It's what we call it, the big three. Cause I'm like, just do these things, guys. The first thing is a morning meeting. You have to run a morning meeting. Okay. Morning meeting, the cadence of the meeting is everybody goes around and gives wins. Then after that, they state their projections, which is like how many sales they're at versus what they projected for the month. If they're on pace, not on pace, if they're not on pace, why they're not on pace. And then after that, we do training. So the same way, a football team every single day gets together, they practice the same plays every day. We practice the same plays every day. That's, and you got to do it. Okay. Fundamentals. So the wins builds the, we share client wins. That builds conviction. Salespeople are the only people that can't sell in your company if they're uninspired. Your accountant can do your book. Book's great if, you know, they're uninspired or they don't like the company or they're to quit. As soon as a salesperson's not bought into the mission, the vision, the values, they can't sell. They're the only person in any company that can't perform if uninspired. So we give wins to inspire people in the beginning and raise the energy of the meeting. We always say client wins because they need conviction in what they're selling. They need to be connected to the reason why they're selling it. The mission, the vision, the values, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then after that, we do projections. That's for accountability and accuracy. So we have them project out, hey, I'm doing 30 units this month. Okay, what do you need to do? What do you need to do to get 30 units? I need this amount of calls. I need to make this amount of offers. I need to have this amount of closes, et cetera. Gotcha. Okay. What other activities are you going to do to hedge so that like your worst case is 30 units? I'm going to do this amount of outbound dials, this amount of prospecting, this amount of this. Okay, great. And then we keep them accountable. So each week they'll set up projection as well. Hey, I'm projecting 7 this week, 30 this month. This week I'm at 2. I'm on pace because it's Tuesday. Right. Or if they're only at 2 and it's Thursday, projecting 7. And this is what we would say in the meeting. We go round table. I'm projecting 7 this week. I'm at 2. Right now, I'm not on pace. The biggest reason I'm not on pace is because I had 3 stacked Monday. A few didn't fall through that I thought we're going to think through. So next time I need to hedge better and be more accurate. And to make up for that, I'm going to make X amount of outbound dials to get my inputs back up so I can get more on the board and finish on pace for 7. So what you want to build in your team is this high amount of accountability. And what I just sort of stated in that example is what's called behavior to result awareness. Okay, behavior to result awareness. So what that means is we need them to be associated with what inputs equal what outputs. A salesperson needs to look at themselves as a system, like it's their own business. You know, they're running their business under your business. And they need to know the same way you know, if you spend X amount of on ads, here's your projections. They need to know, I need to do these amount of activities and get there. And we need to train that accuracy and hold them ruthlessly accountable to being accurate. Right? Because once we can get them to be accurate to where they have what's called a high say-do ratio, to where they say, basically when they say something, they do it. Okay. I'm going to hit 7. They hit 7. So my team, all of them, about 80% of the reps on the team, if they say they're going to hit 34 units this month in terms of sales, they hit 34 or more. Right? That's so important to get a good integration between marketing and sales. Because what we do is we take all of their projections all together because we know they're going to be accurate. We minus 80%. That's the company projection. And then we use our target CPA. We base our ad spend off of that. Does that make sense? So you see how them being accurate, and we tell them this. We're like, dude, if you're not accurate, you're messing everybody up all the way down to marketing, all the way down to finance, all the way down to everything. So the morning meeting, back to the big three things to be able to run a sales team effectively. The morning meeting is the most important, the accountability and the training. The second thing is proper tracking. Like you got to know the same way if you need to fix a funnel, you got to diagnose, is a landing page not converting? Is it the CTR on the ad? Same thing with a salesperson. You need all the downstream metrics. So a proper tracking dashboard. Some people just don't have that at all. You know, the third thing is what we call an end of day report. Every single person in our company submits a report to their direct report through Slack every single day. That's basically the activities they did today, how they rate how they're feeling on scales of 1 to 10, and then they give their overall thoughts. What went well today? What could be improved? What am I proud of? What am I grateful for? Where do I need help right now? So this provides a lot of inputs for the sales managers to be able to step in and give coaching if people are starting to fall out of pocket. So that's step 4. Is really coming in to being a sales manager. Step 1 was productized offer. Step 2 was the evergreen acquisition, the optimal selling system. Step 3 was delegating your first set of sales calls to your 2 sales reps. Step 4 is embodying and being a sales manager. Step 5 is promoting your sales leads. So at this point, you have 3 to 4, but you could have 3 to 4 sales reps on the team. At this point, hopefully a superstar emerges, okay? You're going to want to take that person aside. You want to say, hey, I see a lot of potential in you. Would you like to one day get to the point where instead of having to take calls all day, grinding your soul to the nub, would you rather lead and manage and coach and inspire this team? Because me as the founder, I'm essentially, you know, I got a lot on my plate. I got to do this marketing stuff. I got to do content. I got to redo the product. I can't do all of this. Can you be my sales manager in training and help out? Then you give that person a small base, very, very small, and you start to offload some of the responsibilities of like onboarding, training, et cetera, to them. Okay. So now if you have that person and you have what's called a sales coordinator, which is just like a sales ops person, that's a very easy hire. Now as a leader, all you're doing is running the morning meeting. All you're doing is running the morning meeting. Now you're really down to like 30 to 60 minutes a day, which is great. And then step six is promoting that person in the sales manager. Okay. So then at that point, they need to be doing the coaching and the training. We break sales management responsibilities down into three categories: ops, which really the sales coordinator should be doing, coaching and training. That's the main thing they should be doing. And leadership, which is inspiring, communicating vision, making sure the mission, vision, and values are like, are they there? All of that stuff, constant communication. Okay. So that's when you have the sales manager. Now, the biggest thing people screw up with sales managers is they fall into what's called the fallacy of the player coach. So what that means is, well, my sales manager was producing $400,000 of revenue a month for our company. I can't just move him to sales manager. I'm going to lose all that money. So what I'm going to do, hey, now you got to manage a team and you got to keep up your quota. Disaster. So you will churn, you will steal their soul doing that, because they will try to do it and it's extremely difficult. Why is that? Because if you look at incentives, sales is inherently a selfish position. And I don't mean that like they're not trying to serve their prospects. What I mean is like they need to be thinking at all times, how do I make the most money? Because that's what's going to make the company the most money. And how do I do that ethically? That's your salespeople. Your sales manager is a selfless position. So your sales manager in turn is essentially somebody who says, I need to take all of my needs aside and make sure my team wins. So if you try to have somebody do both, they're just going to do both really mediocre. And in all cases, what I found is when you fully, even if they're a high performer, when you take them out and you fully let them just be the coach, you get such a higher output from your team because there's higher inputs into the team. A sales team is not like a funnel. A funnel, you can spend some ads, you put the ads in, traffic goes in, sales come out. Sales team, there's like, it needs to be managed with energy. There's energy in, energy out. They need tended to, they need led. People complain about their sales team being high maintenance. The good salespeople kind of are high maintenance. They're like Ferraris, you know, they need a little bit of attention. Okay. The seventh step, and this is kind of the bonus step, is essentially splitting up, repeating the process and splitting off into multiple teams. What we found, you know, Jeff Bezos' two pizza rule, if people can't share two pizzas around a table, it's too many people, right? So what we found is once a team gets about eight people, you need to hire another lead, just repeat the process, hire another lead or another manager. And again, you're going to run through the same thing. Oh my God, I got to pay more middle management. Is this really going to work? Typically it does. So for us, we have about managers manage about 8 to 12 people. And then, you know, once we start to build that up a little bit, what we'll do is we'll take the best person and then they build their team from scratch. So now you don't have one big team. You have teams of teams, and the teams of teams have different cultures. They have different styles, and that diversity creates and fragility and stability within the sales organization. You want to break them into smaller units and you want them to get them to compete against each other. Similar to what Jeff Bezos said and how he structured his company, he wanted the competition inside of the environment to be tougher, more brutal than the competition outside of the environment. So that's how you really, you know, they created basically a monopoly, but they did it because they competed with themselves. They broke off into smaller organizations and really gave kind of their own profit leaders and et cetera, you know, their own territories. And you have to do this because there's going to be amazing salespeople on your team who are going to outgrow being a sales rep. They're going to want to move to the next thing. They need growth. They need leadership. And you need to give them the opportunity to, you know, hit their income goals, hit their growth goals, hit their potential goals, but and do it in a way where they're building their company under your company. And that's how you cultivate that sort of upward mobility that happens naturally within an organization. That's how you cultivate a system that produces leaders. You know, like one of the things that's been the biggest focus for me the past 3 to 4 months is how do I produce leaders within the company? And then I realized instead of me trying to figure out how I produce a leader, I need to build the system that by the nature of the system existing produces leaders.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's the 7 steps. That really breaks down how we got to about 30 million. You know, maybe there's step 8 on how to get to 100. Well, we'll do one this time next year. And, you know, if we're on our way, we'll disclose step 8.
I love it. So these are the 7 steps to what? What did you classify?
I said 30 million. I mean, but I would imagine this will get you to 50 to 60 at least. I mean, it really depends. I think, you know, if you look at huge organizations, like I'm sure 100 million, you know, 200 million organizations look similar to this as well.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on your success.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just us. I mean, that's the same framework that we walk clients through.
Yeah.
You know, and helping them scale. So
I think that's awesome. Well, as you take a look at this concept here of, you know, anytime a person's trying to really scale and grow and build, I loved, as I was kind of taking notes on this here, I think it's really critical as far as how many people. And I love that 6, 7, 8 people there that I've seen happen so many different times in different types of teams and everything else. That is like that magic number where they can compete against each other. They can work together. They know each other well enough. And I think it's a great way of really scaling and growing. I also love the idea as far as promoting from sales to management, and then that to realize that you've got to be all in. You're either all in sales or you're all in on management. And I've seen that happen so many times where people are like, you need to do both. And that just never, ever, ever works. So
yeah,
I'm glad to see massive success you've had out of that. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, if people want to find out more about you, what's the best way of connecting with you?
I would just go to closers.io website. So that's closers.io, not close.io, closers.io.
closers.io. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Well, that is awesome. Well, again, I think it's just been so much fun, Cole, just seeing all that you guys have been doing. Again, worked with so many of our dear friends. Love to see the success you're having as well. If people wanted to reach out to you, any other place they should go besides closers.io?
I would start there. If somebody wants to maybe become a sales rep, maybe follow me on Instagram, Cole Thomas Gordon. But yeah, closers.io is probably the best place for the majority of folks.
Oh, that's awesome. Cole, thanks so much for your time, bud.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you.
All right. I hope you absolutely loved all that we just went through. I think the cool thing for me is as I take a look and think of all the things that 100% of the people who have had success, they all had this one thing in common, and that is they all actually built a funnel. So we decided we'd actually release how people can actually do this. So you can go to yourfirstfunnel.com, and it basically shows everyone how to create your first funnel. If you take a look at all the cool free things that are included in this huge list, is a great thing when you start taking a look at what are the things you want to do when you're building your own business. But definitely you want to go to yourfirstfunnel.com. Here you'll see Russell, where he literally goes through all of the details in this amazing video there. In addition to that, he goes through and we actually give this massive overview of all the free stuff. So realize if this is your first time to try ClickFunnels, you actually get 30 days free. In the past, it's always been 14 days. You get 30 days right now. Plus, you get 14 days of live coaching, plus Russell's 30-day book. I love this book. This is one of my favorites because it actually goes through where you can see 30 other people in different industries, what they would do if they had to start from scratch. And it's like 520 pages, or I mean, just crazy. And they actually send you the book, plus the Funnel Hacker Cookbook, which is just an awesome thing. I remember we're actually going through all that with Russell in our little kitchen here in the office. But the cool part is he actually goes through every single tiny little thing that you could do. And it's like a cookbook where you just add it into your page that you're building, in your funnel, all that stuff. Plus 102 insane, done for you, ready to go funnels. So you can just hit the ground running today. And that's where, again, these are existing funnels. You can just plug them in. Plus the free headline generator software, which is just awesome because it actually helps you create the headlines, which is so hard for most of us. In addition to that, you get a free list building secrets training, which goes through all the things as far as how do you build your list. So yeah, you got the headline, but now you also have to have the list of where you're gonna go. We're trying to get everyone to get that the first 1,000 people within the first 30 days. Plus Tony Robbins' private collection, 7 of Tony's trainings. Obviously I just adore Tony and the stuff that he provided for all businesses. is just amazing. So you want to see that. Plus, you also get Dan Kennedy's herd building training seminar, which is one of my favorites. I absolutely love working with Dan and seeing the stuff that he's done. That was one of my favorite ones. Plus, you also get ClickFunnels Funnel Hacker t-shirt. All this stuff is free. And I just want to make sure that you understand that we want you to go to yourfirstfunnel.com. And that way you can actually see it and go through it, see what's there. And we just want to make sure you guys are having success. So we'll talk to you soon.